It's so good to have you with us again here today at Covenant of Grace Ministry and Fellowship. In my lectionary series I'm teaching this year for the ministry, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you that contribute in whatever way you do to the ministry and to encouraging this founding pastor and this work that we're trying to do in making disciples for Jesus' kingdom. Not by might, not by power, but through the anointing and enablement of His Spirit, because we don't make disciples. We train disciples to see the Lord help make them disciples through His powerful Holy Spirit coming and abiding in their lives and helping them to take up the mantle and the calling of the Lord and to serve the Lord, because many are called, but few are chosen. And I'm hoping that some of those who are called will become some of the chosen in their work and ministry and in the purposes of God. We've gone through some various struggles of late in the ministry, but God has been blessing. People have been dealing with some illness of late. We've had some situations where we've had to work on some of the finances in the church. But it's been good. God's kept us moving and going forward. And because of the way we're kind of made up, we aren't looking to always be in, quote, one building or anything else on a Sunday morning. But because of our shepherd groups and our once a month gatherings, they've been something we could manage in whatever state we could in order to make them a blessing to us and to be a facilitator of the kingdom. However, it has been not without challenges. So I thank each and every one of you for putting up with all the different going back and forth that we have like a rubber band in various ways, trying to test the waters as we go forth and see His work be done. Get your Bibles out, if you will. We're going to be talking about the tongue and taming the tongue. That's our next lesson in this series. And it's so important to understand the tongue and its power, but also understand how it can be harnessed through the work of the Holy Spirit as God keeps His hand on the rudder and steers us in accordance to His word and to the dictates of that which He desires. If we have on the mind of Christ, amen. The longer we live, the more acutely we are aware of the power of the tongue to destroy or to give life. From the days when we hurled schoolyard taunts or insults or were on the receiving end of those taunts, we realize the power of words to hurt or damage. Husbands and wives use those words against one another. Kids use those words against one another. But it also can give life too. And husbands and wives or kids can give life to one another. Every generation seems to learn this lesson the hard way. There's no other way to consider it. Consider this. For example, the impact of the social media in this world and its general quick nature of response lends itself to problems. It's a blessing and a curse, the quick response, because people aren't too patient and or considering when they're using their tongue, but they're quick to speak and many times do not think in accordance to wisdom. With fingers typing as an extension of the tongue, they just lay waste to many people's lives at times and show great lack of understanding of the power that is possessed within the mechanism of the social media, for better or for worse. Christians argue sharply with each other about faith, politics, whether on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, I don't care what the forum is, Instagram, they debate with one another. And prominent ministers and authors quarrel as well. Relationships can be strained and broken on ill-considered tweets of 280 characters or fewer. The Bible has written a ton about the tongue and its power and its ability to hinder or heal. But too often, we are just so fast with our words and we don't pause and think before we speak. And we cause injurious things to happen. And I've seen so many people throw out so many things of late to one another that cause due harm that I see in my counseling, etc. And people are trying to deal with it. And I'm trying to get people, especially in our ministry, and I believe other pastors are in theirs, to kind of not overreact or be quick to react to some of the things they read or hear as people seem to be regurgitating or just giving out things without substance or credibility, without substance or credibility. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith has a substance about it that can give life. But when there's not truth, reality, or credence to the word, it can bring forth death. And in whatever we do, we need to be careful about what we're saying and doing. And we need to not be so quick to respond. Sometimes we respond to things that are not even truth or reality, and they're not even the person we think we're responding to. Okay? We're not even sure sometimes. I remember a while back, one of my relatives tweeted a warning to me and as well to others. Hey, this person is not me. They've hacked my account. And please don't take anything seriously this person had said. And this person had hacked their account and said some injurious things towards others. And people were thinking, so-and-so is saying this about me? We have to be careful. In the early church, they had trouble with fake writers, fake epistles, etc., going forth to the churches. They didn't have the mechanisms to quickly go about and try to find out and corroborate truth from error. And so a lot of times a bad word or an insidious word would go about and really hinder the church because it couldn't be verified and it was taken as gospel. It was a tough thing for the early church. Remember how spread out they were and the way they traveled, etc.? They didn't have telephones to use or anything else. And so the church was hindered by that. And even today, as we look at things and documents and et cetera, we're always trying to double check the veracity of the word. So taming the tongue and understanding how to harness it is important. And if nothing else, I would like you to learn to, when you read something or when somebody says something, to not just regurgitate the first thing that comes out of your heart or mind and try to pause a moment. Try to think, is this person just saying this under emotion? Is this person just trying to say it out of anger? Is this person just trying, you know what I'm saying? Try to let a filter system in your heart and mind be there, like a firewall on your computer to help keep out or keep from doing or responding in ways that are negatory and don't give life. We want to give life to those we come in contact to. We have two passages of scripture we're going to look into. One is our devotional reading for the week, and I'm going to read it first thing this morning. Isaiah 50, 4 through 11. So get your fingers on that. Isaiah 50, 40 through 11. And then our scriptures for today coming from James 3, 1 through 12. I don't know how far I'm going to get in this lesson, but I'm going to do the best I can. And I pray that the Lord ministers in his precious name. Okay, but let's get Isaiah 50, 4 through 11. And let's pray before we get started. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you for this day and thank you for your word. We pray as we share the word that God, you would open up our hearts and minds to receive the engrafted word of God. And Lord, that you'd help this minister to minister life. And Lord, understand, oh Lord, I do, the responsibilities I have in caring for the body of Christ and ministering in the body of Christ. And I pray that those who receive these words would be blessed and strengthened and given wisdom in their walk and talk. And that, Lord God, you'd touch the hearer of the word. And I pray that they would take this word in such a way that they're able to go about and see the Lord do wonderful things in their hearts and lives and help them and grant them wisdom in their sojourn. I pray, Lord, your touch and thank you for this day. Pray your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. But Isaiah 50, verse 4 through 11. Okay, get that if you could. 50, 4 through 11. I'm going to give you a second. Okay. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned. I want to pause for a moment. I like what Isaiah says there. He has given me the tongue of the learned. I want to have the tongue of the learned. You know, the apostles were not the most educated of men. Some of them, like born out of season, such as Saul or Paul, was very learned. But most of the apostles didn't have the greatest learning. But they were taught, and they had grown up, and they'd gone to the synagogue, and they had learned in accordance to that which they were exposed to. And no doubt by their writings and their lifestyle and their ministry, we see that the Lord, through the power of the Holy Ghost that came into them and anointed them, they went beyond their capabilities and accomplished astounding things in preaching and teaching the Word of God. Years ago, and I've given you this story before, it was relayed to me many years ago, by a good friend of mine, who was a very learned, very educated scholar in the body of Christ. And he went to Tennessee to a certain church. Well, he was in Tennessee pastoring anyway, but he went to a church in town to visit because the pastor was having astounding success and many people were going to that church because of the signs and wonders that were following in the work of God. And he went to that church and he went to see what was going on. And it was powerful, the anointing of God. And the preacher preached like you just couldn't believe. And he was wondering, wow, where did he go to school? What did, how was he trained? Who was his mentor? You know, that was what was going through his mind. And he talked to one of the elders in the church, told them who he was down the road. And they said, oh, it's great to have you, pastor. And after service, he just wanted to spend some time with the pastor of the church. Okay, after the service was over, he just sat down after it was over and paused and was meditating upon what God had done in the service. These elders, or one of them, came to him and said, oh, pastor's ready to meet with you. He said they'd be great to come meet with him. And he went back into the pastor's study to meet with him, and the guy started to talk with him, and it was like, wow. What hit him right up front was, this man did not have the same vocabulary or ability to speak or to bring forth resolute commentary like he had when he was in the pulpit. And as he went through in the conversation, he started talking to the man. He recognized that even some of his sermon, the pastor really didn't have the ability to wrap himself around the message he gave. And so he wondered how it happened that he was able to speak as he was. And the pastor said, hey, it's all to the glory of God. And he said, yes, everything's to the glory of God. No, he said, you don't understand. It's all to the glory of God. The only reason I'm able to do any of this is because of the Son of God. And the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon me. I only have an eighth grade education. I only have a certain amount of ability. I used to stumble a lot, etc. And he went through that and talked about that. But he said, what God taught me before I entered into the ministry, and the man had not been in the ministry that long when it comes to pastoring. He'd only pastored the church in a short time. He was only about 20, I think it was 23 years old. And it's the early 20s, at least I think 23. But to make a long story short, he said, this is how God does what he does in my life. And he put his head in that chair behind his desk, and he just said, this is my place where God does his business. This is my altar, and I pray right here, and I talk to God an hour or two before every service, or hours, whatever it might be, and I just let him anoint me. And then the word he gives me, then I open up the book, and then I just share whatever he tells me to do. He didn't have the education. He didn't have all the fancy tools. He didn't have all the things, the props that so many of us have. But he had the anointing. He was jealous of that pastor in the sense of their education. Wish he could have had that. And he said, I want to get that education, but I'm afraid to get that education. Let short circuit me if I forget the place where I've been and where God got all the glory. Amen. I want to be educated. I believe you need a Bible college education. I believe in seminary work, etc. However, if it supplants, if it contradicts, if it short circuits the work of what the Holy Spirit can do, it's not to the glory of God. If there is not an anointing, if there's not an enablement from heaven, if there's not signs and wonders following, if the fruit of the Spirit is not on the tree, it's useless. I'd rather be that Tennessee preacher without any education, barely any education, just sitting before the throne of grace and letting God speak, and me being his mouthpiece. God, just let me be a funnel for your glory. Hallelujah. And each and every day, you need to start out your prayer life, and you need to dedicate yourself, and you need to have an altar for God, and you need to be almost like that preacher. Not that you have to get a message every day, but that you get your heart and mind in God so that God speaks and that he can actually shut up your mouth if he needs to before it says anything. Amen? And then speak what it needs to be spoken. And speak life instead of death. Amen. Hallelujah. We haven't even got through the first verse yet, guys. Hallelujah. But I pray God's ministering to you as he's ministering to my heart. Okay, we're back in chapter 50. Verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, hallelujah, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth the morning by warning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Okay, whatever my capacity is, the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, the Lord helps to give me the word, helps me to hear, and helps me to minister. We need the filter of the Holy Ghost. We need the wisdom of God. We need the anointing of God like never before. We are living in a day and age where people are going about and they're just proclaiming whatever, and there's no substance or concrete truth about it, what they're talking about. We're quick to speak and then, quote, just retract. But I don't want to be in the business of every other day sitting back and retracting things because I got some bad information. We need to be careful about bad information. When I was a debater in high school, I enjoyed debate in high school, and I enjoyed debate later on too, but I found it fruitless when it came to seeing souls be saved, so I kind of quit doing it. It just wasn't worth the effort. Hallelujah. Led to not much godly good. But when I was in high school, I enjoyed debate, and Gene Speck was our teacher at Great Bend High School in my junior and senior year. And I was on the debate team and enjoyed it and learned a lot from Gene and learned a lot from Mr. Keenan, Matt and Marty, and various ones who were on the debate team. And we were studying the National Health Insurance system, as it was our debate topic, and Jimmy Carter brought about all these things about having universal health care, national health insurance, etc. And people were beginning to talk about it like never before. Ted Kennedy was talking about it, different ones, and there was a debate going on way back then in 1978-79 that I thought we would have gone a lot more through by now, but yet it was the debate topic. And I remember Mr. Speck telling us, you know, be careful about your resources, where your resources come from when you use evidence in debating. And so we tried to collect as much information we could. And back then, now I don't know how they do it in high school now. That's the silly thing. I can't tell you if they're allowed to use computers now. I don't know exactly if they're allowed to use tablets or not. But we had to use them on index cards. That's how you had it. You collaborated things and put things together on index cards, and you carry that with you. You have that with you from debate, the evidence you had or defense that you would use through those through that information. Okay? And Mr. Speck made us make sure of the sources. He said, don't use the National Enquirer. Don't use some rag, magazine to use your information from, or something that is like, you know, off the cuff and is not a truly reliable source. But today we have so many sources and so many unreliable sources and people that don't look through what they're doing that we have a lot of misinformation in our generation. I've kind of whittled down the news sources I even use anymore. It's like there's five maybe I use if I'm lucky, you know, that I feel are at least pretty reliable. You got my drift, guys? But I remember Mr. Speck talking about that and how we would collect that data and do it, and how he warned us about using, you know, kind of sketchy information. And I remember one time taking advantage in a debate with somebody, some girls were using this information. It was just not a reliable resource. And so even though I didn't have much evidence against what they were presupposing, I had enough questions and enough ability to pick away at what they had, that they were talking about, that I was able to talk to Greg Keaton, who was my debate partner, myself, to ask enough questions, whatnot, and let the judge know that they just did not have the proper resources, and we won that debate. But check it out. Be careful. Be slow to speak. Have wisdom in what you do. And check out the resources. Amen. I want the Word of God. I want the things of God. I want the consideration of what God considers the good word to be that which is going forth from my life. And I want to be instant in season and out of season, but be instant and in season in what God has inbred within me, that when it comes out, it's the good word of God. I want to be speaking forth, thus saith the Lord. I want to be trustworthy in what I'm doing. And when I have failed to do that, when I have been misinformed, or when I've done things wrong, Lord, I have felt so embarrassed so many times. And I've had to go like you to that place of repentance in the kingdom of God, and also many times go to that person, whatever, and say, hey, I messed up, and just say it as it is. Hallelujah. We live in a generation that sometimes is not very good at asking for forgiveness as well. I want to say that right now. They're not good at asking for forgiveness, and they're not very humble. And they think by, you know, being able to say that they are wrong, that they somehow are weaker in that regard. No, they're not weaker in that regard. They're just being right at clearing house when it comes to their soul and their ability in life to minister and to be transparent. Okay? I do have a problem sometimes saying I'm sorry too often. My sister Vicky, years ago once, spoke to me and said, Patrick, you gotta quit saying I'm sorry so often. But, you know, as I hear things and when people say things, it's like, I want to be right. I want to do good. And my spirit always wants to be that way. And I pray, Lord, that the Lord would help us and each and every one of us to tame our tongues, to do actions accordingly, and to honor the Lord in a learned fashion and in a cooperative fashion to the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, let's try to move on, even though I feel the anointing where we're at right now. Amen. Okay, back to Isaiah 50. I'm going to go, if you don't mind, starting at verse 5 here. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Okay, the Lord has opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away. Do we listen to God? Do we let God speak to us? Do we allow ourselves to hear, thus saith the Lord? And are we good about not turning back from it? When has the Lord given you the word, or when has the man of God or woman of God has spoken out through the anointing of God, given God's word in a way that is correct and online, and you have received it but not taken it, or, quote, you've turned your back on it? Be careful about turning your back on the word of God. You don't want to turn your back on the word of God. You want to serve God and honor the Lord. And too many of us turn back, or we don't listen, or we shut up our ears from hearing the word of the Lord. Years ago, I remember hearing a preacher who I very much so respected telling us at a conference, we've got to be careful about what we think about our brethren. And this is what he meant. He went on to explain that we have cut off so much of the church, quote, because they're not part of our clique or our club. He said, I want us to have reliable resources and men and women of faith to preach the word of the Lord. But sometimes we're so afraid that we might get polluted by somebody that we establish a barrier whereby we don't receive, thus saith the Lord. And he said, there was a person who I disagreed with on some doctrine, but was a brother, but I really almost barely considered him a brother. And he came to me and said, the Lord spoke to him about such and such, and that, you know, you might want to consider this in the Word of God. And he said, I just blew him off. I listened, but I turned my back and I just went the other direction. And then it was 2 months later when somebody I believed in spoke to me about the same thing. I realized I went 2 months ignoring God's word, but when I got from the resource I believed in, a quote, you know, officers, I received it, but I could have had my blessing earlier. So we need wisdom, because I want to have the right resources and I want to make sure I'm listening with clarity, but I also want to be open to what God says to me and ministers to me so that I can have ears to hear what the Lord is saying to the church. A lot of people thought the movement of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the 60s and 70s, a lot of people have fought certain things where God is trying to bring life into the church. But you know something? Sooner or later, when you see the fruit bore on the tree, you recognize that it's the Lord. And that's something to consider as well. When you see people that you have judged as, quote, they don't got it all together doctrinally, but yet you're seeing the fruit, you're seeing the life of God, you need to maybe have some reciprocal communication there so that you can give life and they can give life and you can help one another. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not contradict what God's doing, but you got my drift? You know, I remember Bob Mumford many years ago talking about it, and he wrote a book, and we taught from that book here at Covenant of Grace, and I actually have some of the notes on our website, I believe, but it's called Christ in Session. He talks about, you know, the ministry of the Lord and Christ dealing with his disciples and how we have shut out so many people from, you know, ministering to us that God wants us to recognize, hey, the Baptists, they have this that they're so good about and they're strong with. And this person, they understand organization, et cetera. And this person understands the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that sometimes we don't take the best of the talent, the resources, the anointing of God and the grace of God and put it at best work. I remember Brother Simpson many years ago being challenged by God to go preach and minister to Catholics. And he is a Baptist of Baptists. And Brother Charles didn't think much of the Catholic Church. But God kind of showed him that there were people who were saved in the Catholic Church. And he went to speak at that conference and was touched by the conference and found spirit-filled, powerful men and women of God ministering Jesus, and that they could minister one to another and help and educate one another. Hallelujah. Because when they got to the book and they considered the word of God, God could do great things. There's different ways sometimes we go about things in the body of Christ. I have communion a certain way in Covenant of Grace, but I go to another church and they have communion a little bit different. Okay? You know, sometimes we do things or carry out things a little different, but it doesn't mean it's wrong. When the anointing and the fruit of the Spirit is there and God is working in signs and wonders, begin to trust the hand of God. But where we must be careful is allowing ourselves to be deluded by those who would short out the Word of God, make us doubt the Word of God, and make us not consider the work of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. I haven't even got into the book of James. We might not get into the book of James today, guys. I don't know at this point. We're talking about taming the tongue here. We're also talking about hearing right and honoring God. Okay, I just finished up basically in verse 5. Let's go to verse 6. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justified me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Who is it among you that respects or fears the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of the servant? Who are you going to hear? Who are you going to listen to? What are you going to do with it? And when you do it, are you going to speak forth, thus saith the Lord? Or are you going to water down or muddle it up or try to compromise the Word of God? Let's try to speak ex cathedra. Let's try to speak in a way that doesn't compromise but honors God, and speak out of the fruit of God and the grace of God, and see Jesus be Lord of all. I want to be like that Tennessee preacher who, you know, I might not have everything going on, but Lord, I want to know Jesus, and I want him to be in the middle of my message. I want him to be in the middle of what I do each and every day. I want him to be involved in my work. I want him to be involved in my relationship. I want him to help me with my relationships in every way, shape, and form. I want him to help me to make right decisions. Amen. How about you? How about you? Can you say the same today? I want to listen to the voice of God, and I want to obey the voice of his servant. We have a lot of people today in this hour walking in disobedience. Disobedient to the parents, disobedient to their employers, disobedient to their instructors, disobedient. And we could go on and on. We have a tough time being obedient to what God has put us in and involved around, that he has put us in that position with whoever it might be to teach and train us, etc. We spend too much time questioning. We spend too much time doubting. We spend too much time thinking we could do better. I remember as a kid growing up, and I don't know what mom and dad are doing here, man. Mom and dad, they're crazy. You know, this isn't the way. You know, come on, we can do this and this fine. You know, everything's going to be fine. Wait till I'm an adult. Wait till I'm a parent. You know, I'm going to do it different. You know, you ever been that stupid? I've been that stupid. But I'll never forget my brother trying to stand up. Steve was trying to stand up to Dad one time, and he even got in his face and started putting up his fist and said, "Hey, Dad, I'll show you a thing or two, old man," et cetera. And, the old man put Steve right on the ground. You know, Steve was going to teach Dad a lesson. You know, he was trying to be the man of the house. Well, guess what? That didn't work out too well. And there's a lot of you guys out there trying to be the man or woman of the house, and you aren't there yet, and you're not in that place yet, and you need to learn. You need to grow up. You need to tame the tongue and be learned. Hallelujah. Sometimes your mom and dad or people around you aren't the best examples, but the examples you have and the good things that they show you, use them. Okay? You know, there's a lot of people that don't have the best parents. I was very blessed, but some of you, you know, you didn't have good parents. And I just pray the grace of God and that the Lord Jesus Christ would help you. And that me as a pastor, to some of you, I'm your daddy and et cetera. And I want to be a blessing. I want to help you. But you know something? We need to tame this tongue. And we need to speak the right thing. And we need to be obedient and faithful to the things we should be faithful in. Okay? And I'm going to be blessed more so by being honorable in my job than being dishonorable. I'm going to be blessed more by being honorable in the church than dishonorable to my pastor. I'm going to be blessed in the kingdom of God by being honorable to my friends and neighbors in the body of Christ rather than being dishonorable and talking behind their back. Okay? Amen. Wow. We're still not in the book of James, are we? Oh, praise God. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Let's go back to verse 10, could we? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This is where the crux of the matter is. We need to stay in the light of God by trusting in the name of the Lord and staying upon the things and the foundations of the church of God. He is the foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we need to remember that our God is our light in our salvation. Whom shall we fear if we are in his possession, if we are under his protection, if we are under his tutelage? But sometimes we walk away from those foundations, and sometimes we get away from the protection of God. We put ourselves in compromising positions, whether it's with our tongue, whether it's our lifestyle, whatever it might be. Everybody in the body of Christ, for the most part, knows the story about the prodigal son who just went off wandering around and wasted everything that his daddy had given him for an inheritance. But yet, we know the story ends with a wonderful lesson of love from that father who just brings him in, didn't care about it. He's just glad his son was home. And kill the fatted calf. Let's have a feast. Put the ring, put the family ring on their finger. Hallelujah. My son is home. Now, the eldest son was jealous, etc., and was going, hey, you know, I never left. But yet, what's important is that this prodigal, my son, has received revelation in his home. Some of you have not kept your tongue well. Some of you have not lived your life well. Some of you have found yourself just going about doing whatever, and there haven't been any too many filters or firewalls to help you. And you just kind of just went off in a million places, in a million spaces, doing whatever. Well, put aside that confusion. Put aside that doubt. Get on the foundation of the Word of God. Get in the foundation of what the Lord wants to do. Let the Lord build your house. And if you build your house, it's not going to tumble when the storms come. It's not going to tumble when life's pressures come about you. You're going to have an anchor in Him. And the Holy Spirit's going to help you and direct you. Say, hey, go ahead and do this. But Lord, everything's falling around about me. That's, you know, just do this. Just do this. Oh, I want to know the mind of God. Oh, I want to know the voice of God. I want to listen to Him. Amen. I'm going to close with this. We're not going to get into the book of James today. We'll get into the book of James chapter 3 and continue on this lesson next time. But going back to my debate years, there was a way of debating called spread debating that Mr. Speck taught me. And this is a good place to kind of close this message in. But in spread debating, what would happen if you didn't really have evidence, if you really didn't have, what was necessary or resources to be able to come back with truth, et cetera, you would just begin to confuse the opponents with a conundrum of questions to make them doubt or wonder and get them confused and totally off what they were dealing with. And one time we were in a debate, and I remembered that when I looked at Greg, my partner, and said, hey, we ain't got nothing. What these gals are talking about, we ain't got nothing. And I don't have any evidence. I don't have anything to contradict them. And because Greg was sitting there going, don't we have something? And I said, no, we don't have anything. But then I remembered what Coach Speck had taught us. And I just started writing a bunch of questions, things that would maybe make them get confused or doubt. And so we became somewhat aggressive and we began to spit out things and got them totally off the point. And, you know, unfortunately, one of the girls started crying after Greg was doing his thing, and we kind of overdid it. And the judge saw what we had done, and, you know, he gave us good speaker points, but we didn't win the debate because he knew, the judge saw through it. But the devil likes to do spread debating. The devil does. He's always asking. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's always asking questions, making you doubt, making you fear, making you wonder about your resources, trying to get you away from God, getting you to try to doubt the foundation of your faith. He spends your whole life trying to make you a doubter of the faith, to make you a doubter of God, to make you wonder if he loves you, to make you wonder if he'll heal your body, make you wonder about things. And we need to have ears to hear what the Lord says. And we need to filter Satan out. We need to filter those words of doubt and innuendos out. And we need to know where our hope comes from. And it comes from the Lord. Yep, the devil's out there trying to throw out a lot of things, putting a lot of stuff on the table. But we need to clear the table. We need to keep up with the nourishment God gives us. Take in the manna from heaven, the word of God. We need to listen to the voice of Spirit and be in the house of God and honor the Lord and to praise be unto God, give him glory each and every day. Amen. Drawing closer to him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Taming our tongue. We'll get more into this in, go in and there's going to be a part two addendum to this message. But think upon those things that I've spoke about today. If you need to go back and listen again to this message, please do. I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, has spoken to my heart. And I pray that the Lord will speak into your life, hope and strength, and you'll be able to get some good things from this word today and apply it to your life. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would help me to be able to have ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. To be put in remembrance of the Word of God and the true Word of God. And listen and corroborate and collaborate with those of like precious faith and with those who are showing forth a godly spirit with the fruit of the Spirit that I need to be a part of or respect. And I pray to be obedient to you and reach out and go and do those things that you've called me to do, that I would be a benefactor of this new and everlasting covenant. Lord God, anoint me today and help me. And I pray, God, put on that firewall of the helmet of salvation to preserve my mind and spirit from the things Satan would try to do and keep my ears to hearing towards heaven and keep me grounded, Lord. And help me, Lord, to go forth and to use what you've given me in the armor of God, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, etc., for your glory and for your name. I thank you and I praise you for this day. I pray as we go forth that we will see the work and the habitation, Lord, and I pray that signs and wonders will follow those that believe. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all till next time. Amen. In Jesus' name.